Certainly appreciate all that has gone before, and I believe that if we take Brother Joe's words to us this morning, we'll find great comfort and strength and what he has brought to us. And I hope that we do. And we certainly beg interest in your prayers for a few moments while we stand before you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to notice a couple of verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and begin in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." This morning, I'd like to take what Brother Joe has said and go a little bit further. And think about comfort. And in this verse, we find that God is the God of all comfort. If you find comfort in anything, maybe it's in friends or neighbors or the Word of God or whatever the case may be, God is the true source of that comfort. In fact, I believe that sometimes we rely too much on these other things for comfort. And instead, we should rely more on the Lord for comfort. Notice verse 4 begins with Paul saying, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Paul recognized that God was the one who was comforting him. And if we stand in need of comfort, maybe we're in pain, maybe we're in sorrow, whatever the case may be, we should look to the Lord to find that comfort that we stand in need of. You know, I was visiting Brother Charles Matthews back when his health really started to fail him to where he couldn't come to church anymore. And he was pretty downcast about that. And he really felt like he was worthless, that he was useless, that he couldn't go and do anything anymore. And I set out kind of on a mission to find a way to comfort him in his situation. And I found this book that's called The Book of Comfort for Those in Sickness, written by P.B. Power. And that author is a minister in England in the 1800s. And at the age of 43, in the prime of his life, he got some kind of sickness that left him completely dependent on other people for the 34 years the rest of his life, till he's 77. And he had been doing fine, and then that's the way he was for 34 years. And he wrote that book. He was in a position to comfort those who are in the condition that he was. Notice what Paul says here in verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." The blessing that we find in people who are comforted by God is now they're in a position to turn right around and comfort anyone else who's in need of that same comfort that they are. And so here in the church, in the house of God, Brother Joe has brought to our attention that if you're going through something, you probably don't have to look too hard around the congregation and find someone else who's already been there. How did God comfort them when they went through that condition? God is the source of our comfort, the source of our strength, and God is interested in the comfort of His people. And so therefore, God has given us some things that will comfort us and whatever our sorrow may be. Turn me to Romans chapter 15. I want to notice with you that He has given us something that is probably in your lap right now, where you can find comfort. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." That's what all of us want, right? A bright outlook for the future. We want hope. We want comfort right now, hope for tomorrow. As we sang that song this morning, great is thy faithfulness. We have a bright outlook for tomorrow because of the things that were written beforehand. And right now we stand in need of comfort. So God's given us the Scriptures. He's given us His Word that comforts us and gives us a bright outlook for tomorrow. I want you to stop and think about how the Scriptures do, in fact, do just that. How, in fact, does the Word of God comfort us today and give us a bright outlook for tomorrow? Well, I find, and in fact, I'll just go ahead and turn there. I think I can quote it, but I'm not interested in embarrassing myself this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to just read it to make sure I can get the wording right. And that's not a guarantee just by reading it. Isaiah 40, verse 1. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Does that sound like God's interested in your comfort and your consolation? He says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Who is he talking to? Well, I believe he's talking to the ministry. I believe the ministry is charged with comforting God's people. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, and here's the comfort, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. I'm thankful to tell you this morning that, you know, Brother Joe mentioned the devil. I'm thankful to tell you this morning that the devil is a defeated enemy. He has lost the war. Our warfare is accomplished because Jesus declared on that cross, it is finished. The warfare is accomplished. You don't think that the battle's still going. We still have battles to face. That is true. But I'll just go ahead and tell you the spoiler alert. This is how the story ends. It ends with victory in Jesus. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, that he has achieved victory over death so that death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. He has achieved victory over death. And one day, we're going to see that victory in Jesus. We're going to see it to the point that when the Lord comes back again, and you can go read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for yourself. He'll come back with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead are coming out of that grave when the Lord comes back again. This is the end of the story. The dead rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the last verse of 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He's given us the words to comfort one another. What are our trials right now? What are our sorrows right now? When we know how this story ends. You know, the uncertainty that we have in the future causes us to get gloomy, causes us to get despondent. Maybe even in this church, when people don't come to church and you wonder, what's the future of our church? What's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what. You leave that in the Lord's hands. You pray the Lord send laborers into His vineyard. We need laborers in the church. We need those who will come to the house of God for the purpose of comforting someone else. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If we all came with that desire to come to comfort someone else in whatever situation they're facing. I'll tell you, we have comforting words to know that this is how the story ends with victory in Jesus. Our warfare is accomplished this morning. You know that word comfort, we oftentimes take it to mean consolation, soothing. But, you know, if you really look up the definition of the word comfort, it also means strengthen. It strengthens you. And when the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is the comforter, that's what He does. He comes and He strengthens you. In order for you to be able to face tomorrow or face the trials of today, you need strength. And God is the source of all comfort and all strength, the Father of mercies. Your warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. Another thing the devil whispers, Brother Joe, he likes to remind you of all your sins. And not just you. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil would accuse God's people before the Lord day and night. He is the one who accuses you. He tries to lure you into his trap to sin. And when you sin, you know, he goes straight to the Lord. Look, they sin. Well, I'm thankful to tell you this morning that your iniquity is pardoned. Your sin is forgiven. Back to Ephesians 4:32 says for us to be kind, tenderhearted towards one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why did the Lord forgive us of our sins? Why are our iniquities pardoned? He did it for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, our sins are pardoned, our iniquity is pardoned. And he says, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Lord is not like any person you'll ever meet on earth. He's given us double for all of our sins. Now, the Bible is pretty clear that sin incurs a debt in the eyes of God. In fact, Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And he compares debts to sin. When you sin, you're incurring a debt before the Lord. This verse tells us that you receive of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Now, let me tell you what this is like. Let's just say, now, I'm sure y'all all drive nice cars and have nice houses. Let's just say you owe $100,000 on your house. Well, just a round number. That's a big number, but maybe more. I don't know. Just $100,000. What this would be like is that the Lord pays off your mortgage and then gives you $100,000 and puts it in the bank. You've gotten double for what you owed. You see how that goes? Well, I remember one time we were watching this show called Undercover Boss. And this boss went undercover in his company and he got familiar with some of his employees. And this one particular, some of them are more generous than others. They're all very generous. But this one particular one, he sat down with them and says, how much do you owe on your mortgage? And they were like, $150,000. He says, I'm paying that off. And they were blown away. He just paid off their mortgage just like that. Well, that's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord has done. He's not only paid the debt, he's given you spending money along the way. And, you know, when it comes to our sins deserve eternal punishment in hell. And he paid us the debt. He didn't just get us back to where Adam was. He not only did that, he went far beyond that to have eternity spent in heaven with him. We've received double, you understand, for all our sins. I'll tell you, these are comforting words to me. These are words I take great comfort in. In Romans chapter 8, find other scriptures where we can find great comfort in the 8th chapter of Romans. You know, I find people get very despondent when they're in the situation that we're about to read here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Let's just say that tomorrow, we lost all the freedoms and peace and safety that we had in this country. This became a war-torn country. And we were having to hide in dens and caves just trying to hide from all the persecution that comes. You know, the natural inclination of man in that condition is, Lord's forgotten us. The Lord's left us. That'd be your natural inclination. But I'll tell you, if you do any reading on the history of our people as they migrated from the nation of Israel to the West, all the way through Europe and even over to here, you'll find they call it a trail of blood. All kinds of persecution, all kinds of trouble. That is no indication that the Lord has left you. It says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 36, he even quotes the Old Testament. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He says, that doesn't give you a bright outlook for the future if you read something like that. But he says this in verse 37, and this is the part that's so hard for us to really grasp and comprehend as God's people. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says for us to account our sufferings as something that has value. Our sufferings actually are helpful to us. They strengthen us. They bless us. And that's such a difficult concept to explain. You really just have to experience to understand it. But he says here in verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You think about all these people in the history books that we read about that conquered and won great battles and did all these things. And how great they are. History, they remembers them. No, this verse tells us we are more than that. More than conquerors. Who? Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. You know, some people say, as Brother Joe was talking about suicide, some people think, well, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. Not according to Romans 8, verse 38. He says, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You want to find some comfort in the Scriptures? I'll tell you, you look no further than these verses that tell you none of these situations, none of the things that happen in life will separate you from the love of God. None of us able to do that. God's love is always there. Oh, I tell you, there's great comfort in knowing that you are loved. There's great comfort in knowing that you are special, as Brother Joe has mentioned. You know, I took Jamie and Cody to the skating rink yesterday. And, boy, I tell you, if someone had a video camera, that would just be a funny scene, I suppose, to watch that stuff. But there, I like watching the good skaters out there and how good they are at doing that. There was one particular, and she had this sweatshirt, and it said, loved and worthy. And I thought, what does that mean? Loved and worthy. That's a great blessing to be loved, but really, that should, loved and worthy should not be our motto. Our motto should not be trying to find love from other people. Instead, it should be giving love to other people. Love should be the one who's sending the love and thinking of yourself as worthy. I just have a real fundamental problem with that. I don't believe any of us can say, when we really stop and examine ourselves, that we are worthy of what we get. I'm going to say the blessings that we have in this life, they all come down from God, and we're not worthy of that. We're not worthy of that because they come by the grace of God. God in His abundant mercy, the Father of mercies in His abundant grace, that's how we receive these blessings. God's grace, for we are truly unworthy. Think about us as God's people. Here we are, living in this life. Are we even worthy of the comfort that He sends our way? I just have a hard time really fathoming that the God of this universe, so great, so powerful, so amazing, would be concerned about comforting me. But He does. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all grace. He is the God who comforts us. Now, very quickly, turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want to notice with you that God does use people to comfort others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says this in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. If you are cast down, it's time to turn to the Lord for your comfort. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Now notice he says, Titus, when he came to me, I was comforted. But what specifically comforted him? It wasn't just his coming only, verse 7 says, but the consolation wherewith he was comforted. Notice Titus was comforted by the church at Corinth. Now, let me rewind a little bit here. And if you read 1 Corinthians, you're going to find the Apostle Paul gets on to that church for all the things that they were doing wrong. Now, let me just go ahead and tell you, and Brother Joe can look forward to this, is that when a pastor has to get on to a church because of a sin or something they're doing wrong, we don't like doing that. We don't like doing it. But we have to do that. And usually when you do that, people they don't like it. Brother Joe mentioned happy. They don't get happy when you do that. They don't like you doing that. No one likes getting corrected for doing the wrong thing or bad behavior. Are you pointing out that they're doing the wrong? No one likes that. But Paul, he did that. And that, and you can read on here that he almost regretted having to do that. But notice verse 7 tells us that when he heard that they had a desire, they had a mourning, they were concerned about the Apostle Paul and their own condition, that comforted him. Boy, you want to comfort your pastor. You acknowledge your sin. You acknowledge your wrongdoing. And you strive to do better. If you keep reading 2 Corinthians 7, you'll find that they did just that. Turn me to Colossians chapter 2 very quickly. I want to notice with you some of the things that we're talking about that we have here in the church. And there's so much in this. But he says in Colossians 2 verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Verse 2, notice this. "That their hearts might be comforted." Now, if we had time this morning, we get to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about how God comforts your hearts. You know, that's where we need the comfort. We need it in our heart, and that's where God comforts us, is in our hearts. And then if you keep reading and studying, you'll find that in several different places in the New Testament, it says the preacher comforted their hearts. So God comforts the heart of the preacher, who then turns around and comforts the heart of the people. And now I would encourage you to take that comfort and comfort other hearts that you come in contact with, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. You know, isn't it wonderful to have this church, to have a place where we can come and be together? And what brings us together? You know, a lot of us in this church are kin to each other by natural ties. But I would hope what really brings us together is our hearts being knit together in love. Isn't it wonderful to have a place with people who love you, who don't just pretend to love you, but they really do love you? Our hearts being knit together in love. I'll tell you, that comforts our hearts. Their hearts be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This place, what a blessed place it is. What a place we find great comfort that comes from the Lord. Now, in closing, if you'll go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'd like to look at these verses that we mentioned just a second ago. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, he says, "Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself." You know, there are some things that you can delegate to other people, but we're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us. And nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And hath given us an everlasting consolation. And when's this comfort run out? When's this consolation come to an end? According to this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:16, it's everlasting. It never ends, never runs out. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Why do we have a bright outlook for the future? This verse says, you have good hope through grace. Not something you deserve, not something you earn, a free gift of God, free unmerited favor of the Lord. Good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. When I think about the God who comforts us through any condition that we go through, I'm thankful to tell you about the finished work of Jesus Christ, the comfort we find in the Scriptures, the blessings that we have in this church to find comfort here, the blessings that we have in one another who comfort us from time to time, coming the Lord's bid. But I would encourage you to turn your eyes unto the Lord, the source of all true comfort, to find the comfort that we stand in need of each time that we need it. And we appreciate your good attention. And at this time, we announce the doors of